the, sorry, I apologize. I'd like to call the joint meeting of the House and Senate Labor and Commerce Committees to order. And today we'll be receiving a presentation by the Department of Labor. Commissioner Clint Bishop will be making the presentation. Senate members attending, Senator Davis, Senator Menard, Senator Giesel, and me, Chair Senator Egan. House members attending, Chair Senator, sorry, we just talked about nameplates. Representative Olson, Representative Thompson, Representative Holmes, Representative Miller, and Representative Seaton. And, well, we're waiting on a few, but they haven't shown up yet, but they will be here. Commissioner Bishop, thank you very much for attending, and we appreciate you attending a joint meeting of our committees. Instead of doing it separately, it saves us both a lot of time, and we appreciate that.
May I approach the chair?
Commissioner, it's yours.
Don't get nervous. You know when I take my coat off. It's going to be good.
Settling in.
Well, Mr. Chairman, good afternoon. Chairman Egan, Chairman Olson, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Clint Bishop, Commissioner of Labor and Workforce Development. And the chair would allow me, I'd like to introduce several of my staff for the record, please. In attendance today is Deputy Commissioner Tom Nelson, newly appointed. Honored to have Tom serve. Assistant Commissioner Guy Bell. It's a real pleasure to work with Guy and my special assistant, Legislative Affairs, Paul Escobero. Thank you. And I'll launch into the presentation. And I, again, want to thank the chairs for maximizing everyone's time. I know we are all busy with the state's business, and this joint committee is a good use of everyone's time. So that being said, I'd like to start off with some of us here today are new, and I've been around and had several meet and greets so far. I think I've met most of the new committee members here today, and for more background information on the department for your benefit, I want to start with the department's mission, and that is the mission of the Alaska Department of Labor and Workforce Development is to provide safe and legal working conditions for the men and women and our youth in the state of Alaska. We deliver on that mission through three core service areas. And first we protect workers through wage and hour and child labor law enforcement, mechanical inspection and occupational safety and health compliance and enforcement inspections. Second, we develop Alaska's workforce through the operation of 23 job centers located throughout the state of Alaska there, from Barrow to Ketchikan, and from Nome to Tok. We also have an online labor exchange system that connects job seekers and employers, job training and support services, including serving Alaskans with disabilities, adult basic education, which just for a moment I'd like to touch on that. We at our department, I sign about 1,500 plus GED diplomas a year through our shop. Also, through Avtech and Seward, that's in the Department of Labor. It's a great facility. There are some of you that have at the table here that have been to Seward. We extend that offer to the legislature every year. We've started that here in the last couple of years to tour the Avtech facility, and it's a good program. Fred Esposito, the director, does and his staff do a good job and a great service to kids that aren't on a traditional pathway to a four-year college program. So lastly, we offer income replacement through our unemployment insurance program, Social Security disability determination services, and by assuring fair workers' compensation benefits payments to injured workers. So I'm also pleased to report that our department has successes despite the downturn in the United States economy, and we've had significant impact on employment, on Alaska's employment picture. So it'll get better here, because when I start drilling down and I'll go off my script and visit with you like I do individually, it'll flow a little better. But
Commissioner, sorry to interrupt. Representative Johnson has joined the meeting.
Thank
you, Senator. Good afternoon,
continue,
sir. I'd like to report, you know, in the areas of workers' protection, there was a 9% reduction in lost workday illnesses and injuries between the fiscal year 09 and 10. Workers' compensation premiums declined in 2010 for the third straight year in a row. And I would like to say that I would like to take a little bit of the department to take a little bit of credit for that, because one of the things that when I first came on board 4 years ago is we reinvigorated the Governor's Safety Council. It's an annual convention in Anchorage where safety professionals come together, and we have host workshops on workplace safety. My private life, that was one of the missions that I did at the training program that I helped administer, is in the areas of safety and health. Big on workplace safety, and so we also started doing monthly in our trends magazines that you all are familiar with. You'll look in the back of that every month, and we put a safety minute in there. We also have became more proactive with public service announcements, where we've done, you've seen some of the advertisements we've ran on crane safety, seat belts, and some of those types of things. We're in PSA's radio spots, where we're getting the word out, work smarter, work safely. So it will help lower accident injury rate on the job, thus drive being able to keep our work comp premiums lower.
Commissioner, I hate to interrupt again, but Representative Sadler has joined us.
Good afternoon, Representative.
We're all here now.
We're all here. Pots right, pots right, lock the door. Okay. Another area that in the safety realm is, and I touched on it a little earlier in my opening, is in the area of youth safety. Okay. We're partnering, the department is partnering with K-12 schools, making in-classroom presentations where we'll take a consultation officer into the classroom on youth safety, and talk about youth safety and employment. Labor standards and safety did an outreach last year to 5,300 students in 2009. We touched 5,300 students in 2009. And approximately 5,100 in 2010 in 57 schools throughout Alaska. The number of work-related incidents for minors dropped from 169 in 2008 to 38 in 2010. Okay, so it dropped from 169 in 2008 to 38 in 2010. And I can't speak for all of you, but I can speak from my own learning. And when I was in school and as a young person, and numbers and such were ingrained in your mind as a young person, you know, when you get that workplace safety ingrained and instilled in your psyche, if you will, as a young person, that hopefully will transition throughout the rest of your life. Be able to work smarter, work safer. Okay. In the area of income replacement, I'm pleased to report that despite historically high claims for unemployment benefits, Alaska's unemployment insurance trust remains solvent with a December 31st, 2010 fund balance of $243,900,000. That's an excellent news given that 30 states have had to collectively borrow $40 billion from the federal government just to keep the UI checks going out the door. So, you know, hats off to everyone involved that put together the UI Trust Fund and the formula for indexing and calculating those benefits, because it works here in Alaska. And so, you know, we're only one of three states in the union where the employee pays a portion of that UI tax. And I believe in, for backup, I have a lifeline. I can use those, Mr. Chairman, once in a while?
Yes.
Thank you. If I need a lifeline, I think we are the only state where that is the case, where the employee actually pays. There's three states that have the ability, but I believe we're the only state where the employee actually pays a portion of their UI tax. So our system works well. We've got a $243 million fund balance. We're in good shape. And trust me, I pay attention to that fund balance. In the area of workforce development, the non-resident hire rate fell from 19.6% in 08 to 19.1% in 09. While this represents a modest improvement, Alaska still exported $1.8 billion in wages paid to non-residents. While this represents, excuse me, it continues to be my goal to see more Alaskans trained and available to take those jobs, and I continue to and always will, even if I'm a commissioner or a private citizen, to make inroads in reducing the non-resident hire rate in Alaska. And I don't have to beat that horse to death. Everybody at this table is in agreement. We all work collectively together towards that. So, if please, Chair, I'd like to talk about a few. I have a myriad of successes, but I know that we won't have the time to go through all of them. I'm going to highlight several of those successful training programs, and always know anyone at this table that myself or my staff is always available to come talk at length to any one of you or your staff on more detail of any one of these programs. So the first program I'd like to talk about a little bit, and I'm going to try to, I've tried to mix it up so I kind of catch a range here, is our core driller program. And if you were walking downtown today on, it's not Franklin Street, but it's the street that goes past McDonald's, the old McDonald's down there.
Front
Street. There's a core drill operating there right now. So that's a typical core drill operation. One of the things I have to do, and this is a little bit of a history repeat for some of you, but just to bring the rest of the body up to speed, is I have to sign foreign labor certifications in my shop to allow foreign workers to come into the state to work. And one of the areas that one day I had to sign for 20 individuals from across the border to come here to become core drillers, and their average salary is $100,000 a year. Now, we have unemployment rates in this state, as you well know, ranging from 20% to 8%, depending upon the geographic location of the state. But be that as it may, enough's enough. I was at my wit's end there, and I said, you know, we're going to make an improvement right here, right now. And we started this program 3 years ago, the concept. But the long and short of it is I like to work collectively with everybody, because I never did anything. We can do a lot. So with that being said, I brought the mining industry into the table, the drilling industry into the table, the University of Alaska at the table, their Mine Training Petroleum Division, the Departments of Labor, and the Office of the Federal Office of Apprenticeship in Anchorage. And cut to the chase, 8 months of designing a curriculum. It's called the DACUM process. We designed a curriculum. We rolled out the first ever registered apprenticeship core driller program anywhere in the United States or Canada. We went through and trained 36 students in the first year, rural indigenous Alaskans working in their locale, Cottonview, Bethel, Donlin Creek area. We're in the second year of this program. here probably in the next 2 to 3 weeks. I'm going to another major mine, and we're going to go through the steps to launch this another mine on board with this core driller program. So it's Alaskans on a pathway to get off the end of the shovel into the field of core drilling. And it reaches across a lot of different industries. So that's one that we're very proud of, and you helped fund it. Thank you. And there again, it's all of us working together. So another area that I have been working with Commissioner Schmidt at Corrections, I'm very interested in working on a pre-apprenticeship program model in the prison systems. Now, we have had some successes. I want to expound and expand on that. Recently, I just toured the new prison facility at Goose Creek. That's another story. Goose Creek, yeah. Alcatraz, Sing Sing. I don't know Goose Creek.
The gentleman I went to, and they let me out. I was very happy. Yeah, yeah. Let me out.
Yes. The day. I thought it was a nursery school, but no. Yeah. Goose Creek. I went out and called Commissioner Schmidt and said I'd like to go tour the facility and look at what you have for classroom and hands-on shop space for the inmates. And we did. We went out there, and I was very impressed with the number of classrooms for the hands-on educational components of whatever training, and then the shop space that they have out there for teaching an individual a trade. And just for starters, I just want to throw one little tidbit out there to you is Southern California Carpenters engaged in this type of a program here several years ago, where they indentured 94 inmates into their Southern Carpenters Apprenticeship Program. After 1 year on the outside, after going through this pre-apprenticeship into carpentry, 97% were still on the outside, and they weren't on the inside. And that's what we should be doing, I think, is giving them an education and a skill set and try to make their life better. One more I'll touch on, and then I'll make one little sound bite on another program that I like them all, but is a firefighter. I like helping people. The firefighter training program at DNR. This was a direct result of a conversation that I had with Senator Kukish and John Mueller from the Governor's Office on Rural Affairs, and with the idea of, because we had a number of non-residents come in during our fire season, and we've got a workforce out there. What do they need? They need some training and the opportunity. So long and short of it, we had my shop, labor, DNR, work together. And we funded a entry-level firefighter training program. Over 100 students were trained, and actually the governor was on his way to see the first class, and we had some pretty good fires this summer, and they actually took the students in that first class out on the line at Tok, is where the academy was at, to fight the real fire. So there we go. So we're reaching out to our rural Alaskans, giving them an opportunity, and it's successful, and it's in our budget again this year to continue that firefighter training. Lastly, one area is that another program I'm proud of is a program, and you see how we're reaching across departments and working together is I work with the Commissioner Masters on a law cadet program at Mount Edgecombe in Sitka. So I'm going to be attending an exercise over there February 22nd for the day with Commissioner Masters. It's a cadet program for law enforcement, and I think it's a great program. We still have VPSO needs in villages, and we still have law enforcement needs, and we're growing our own Alaskans to bring them through the ranks into the areas of law enforcement in the state. So moving right along. some legislative items of interest. HB 104 and SB 43 provide sustainable funding for Alaska Performance Scholarships to high school seniors of annual awards up to $4,755 for those who choose to pursue a career at the university or career and technical training programs in Alaska. Once again, the department will be working on workers' comp legislation. We need a medical fee schedule in place, and we need a fee schedule for transportation costs. Representative Olson, I'd like to thank you for introducing this legislation. Yep. I can go and go and go, but if it pleases the chair, I'm open for questions, if you would like.
Questions for the commissioner, Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Commissioner. Chairman. Perfect. Yeah. Commissioner Bishop, I really commend you on your dedication and your innovative ideas to put Alaskans to work. Could you touch on the second injury fund a little bit? What has happened
in what regard,
with
that, sir?
Yes.
Well, through the chair, Representative Thompson, I can't answer that right at the moment because I would love to have to come up with my director to your office and I could have a more detailed discussion, but I'm not an expert in the area.
Okay.
Now, unless I want to throw a lifeline, Paula, you want to?
Okay. You can use all the lifelines you want.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's all right. Thank you.
But I will make an appointment and come up with my division director and we could talk. We'd love to talk about it.
Thank you.
Representative Holmes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With your permission, I think I have two topics I wanted to touch on. First was you were mentioning the prison programs, and like you, I've actually been spending a lot of time this fall in prison, but they let me out at the end of each day because they've been on visits with the commissioner. No jumpsuits for me, no yellow jumpsuits, but I've also been pretty impressed with some of the stuff that they're doing in the vocational area, and I know they're working closely with your department, and I love the interrelationship between the departments. One of the other issues that we've been talking about in the last year or so in that vein is the PEP program that has been phased out with it was the laundry facilities down here at Lemon Creek, and there were some furniture making and some sewing and a variety of different employment opportunities that are being phased out of the corrections department, and I'd be interested going forward in your views on that and to what extent the Department of Labor might be able to work with us. Some of us are interested in looking at reinstating some of those programs. I don't know if you have any thoughts now or we could have a conversation going forward.
To the chair, Representative Holmes, I'd love to have a conversation with you at length where I could get my I know a little bit about what you're talking about the programs.
Yeah.
And I'd love to have a conversation with you about it in depth.
Great. Thank you.
Yep, when we can have that collaborate one. And put our heads together.
That all fine. And with your permission, Mr. Chairman, a second question on a totally different topic. Lots of talk in the beginning of the session here and in the lead up on oil and gas taxes and where they are and where they should be. I think a lot of us are in an information gathering mode right now. And one of the things that we've been hearing a lot about is employment numbers. And some people say jobs are up and some people say jobs are down. Being our labor commissioner, I'm hoping that either now or in the future you'll be able to give us information on what's happening with employment on the North Slope, mm-hmm. what's happening with employment in the support industry, and what's happening in employment for Alaska residents versus out-of-state residents. To the extent you can help us going forward shed any light on those questions, I would be greatly appreciative.
Sure. We'll do the chair. On all three points, my staff, we've been working on knowing that this converse topic is going to come up, okay? So
maybe.
Now, we're having meetings now with staff, peeling the onion back on those numbers to get the as analytical as we can get on the three target areas that you just described. I've already got staff working on it. So the employment numbers are up. Mm-hmm. Now, are they up in maintenance and operation? Are they up in E&P, exploration and production? Mm-hmm. We don't know yet, you know, because I just was at a presentation and I saw two different sets of numbers already. So I'm not going to get any deeper into that conversation right now because we will, and rest assured, you know, when research and analysis and when we bring our numbers forward, we always, we're conservative. Okay. So, and yes, we'll be able to answer those at length.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It sounds like the commissioner's in the same boat I am. Yep. I'm seeing all these different sets. Yep. So the more information you can get to us, as specific as you can get, mm-hmm. I think it'd be helpful to lots mm-hmm. of people in this building.
You know,
because I think we're all in the same boat you are.
As an example, we're forecasting about an 1,800 new jobs going forward for the next year. And that's from the department. But I've seen other numbers in print in the press, reading the paper, where another group will take those numbers and say it's going to be 4,500, 4,800. So the good news is we were up in employment, and we thought we were going to be down, and we're forecasting another up year. And, you know, looking back, non-res hire report will be out to you soon, within a week, and it's of course I've been able to proofread it with my staff, and when you get it and you get to dive into it, I think you'll find it very well done. I was very impressed, and I don't want to take any thunder away from that report when you get a chance to read it, and would love to come back and talk to you about it after you do. You're going to find some very enlightening things, and love to discuss some of those.
Further questions for Commissioner Bishop? Senator Menard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In these uncertain economic times when many small businesses are having difficulty, what programs or work is being put into directly? I'm looking for a stopgap to help before this crisis of foreclosure and bankruptcy has. Would you speak to that, and then I have a follow-up.
Okay, what kind of I'm getting my head wrapped around the question again. What specifically is the
department? Do you work directly with small businesses when you are aware that they're facing foreclosure or bankruptcy? Is there, because we are built on small businesses,
right.
And in our area there's a large number of small businesses that mm-hmm. have folded, and I'm hearing that there isn't an assistance, a program that would directly,
well,
and maybe that's, they don't have the right information and it really is there, but
I'll do the chair, Senator Menard. I'll tell you what I do know.
Okay.
And then the lifelines can backfill. But what we do for the employee is to make sure that they are, if there's any wages owed to the employee,
mm-hmm.
that they get made whole. Now, that's not answering your question from how can we save the business. I mean, what we do, labor's involvement from the labor exchange system mm-hmm. through our job centers is, I mean, those small, we have job clubs where small businesses come in and we help facilitate, find them the best people for their business.
Mm-hmm.
But from my knowledge of the department, and then I'll only defer to the people behind me, I think that's about as far as we go. I think mm-hmm. if somebody called us, we would maybe mm-hmm. refer them to Commerce or
mm-hmm.
Guy, you got my Tom? Mm-hmm. Good.
Sure.
Come bring a chair.
Feel free.
Sorry, I'm calling, causing such a ruckus.
No.
Through the chair, and for the record, my name is Tom Nelson, the Deputy Commissioner for the Department of Labor and Workforce Development. And Senator Menard, we also provide information and referrals for small businesses who come through the job centers, and we can connect them to other essential and critical state services in, okay, in the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, or other departments. We also have a connection to the Trade Adjustment Act. So if a small business has gone out of business as a result of foreign competition or something like that, mm-hmm, like we saw in the Kenai Peninsula several years ago,
right,
we have the ability to help them formulate their petition to the federal government to become Trade Act eligible, and so those employees would be eligible for services and retraining.
Okay.
And we also have smaller programs designed for companies that have 50 employees or more, or 49 employees and less, for layoff aversion and what we call rapid response. So we can proactively work with the company before, you know, perhaps they shut their doors, and we can provide them with information and referrals and begin the process of retraining or retooling and whatever else we can do for them.
I appreciate learning about that. I have one other question. Recently, I ran into Neil Fried, Fried with the Economic Forecaster, and you mentioned the Economic Trend magazine that came out 2011. And at the bottom, it said Matanuska, Susitna, Borough, the Eclipse of Growth. Did you happen to see that as well, right on the cover?
The Eclipse of
Growth, I think it's it. And I was just wondering if you could speak to that, so my colleagues truly understand too that you know, the growth rate that we're going through.
I'll have to the chair. I'll have to reread that footnote, and I'll follow up and give you a response.
Okay.
Sorry, I couldn't answer, but I read a lot of stuff like you do.
Yeah. Thank you.
Remember everything.
Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner Bishop, are there many companies in Alaska that are not purchasing workers' comp insurance?
Let's just say, through the chair, Representative Thompson, there are some, but is it in my tenure at the department, we have found some that have not been in compliance, and we're quick to make sure that they get it. But it hasn't been an epidemic coming to me from my division director.
Thank you.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner Bishop, I'm following up very closely with Representative Thompson's question just now. I've had several of the unions in my office through the week, and one theme that I do hear as a recurring concern of theirs right now is that it seems, and perhaps there's no way to track this, I'm just curious if you could chase this down, that as a general contractor is awarded a contract, especially for new construction, that they are subcontracting independents. And these independent folks, reported to me, are somehow exempt from that exact item. They don't need to buy, they're not compelled to buy workman's compensation, or workers' compensation, excuse me. And I'm curious as to whether there's a way to track that, because I've heard from just about every union group this week that is the case, so that there's no statute and there's no enforcement.
Well, I wouldn't go as far as to say there's no enforcement, because we do have a fraud investigator in department. You know, we do have fraud investigators in the department. But it's an issue that's out there, that's for sure. There's no doubt about that.
Follow up then.
Yep.
Is this perhaps then just a question of enforcement? I mean, there is statute that would prevent this from happening.
That, again, through the chair, I would have to defer to my division director to talk to him about that for that answer.
Yes. I would very much appreciate that answer. Thank you.
Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. 2 years ago, we got through the University of Alaska pre-correction officer, pre-public safety officer program that actually goes through the Kenai Peninsula College.
Mm-hmm.
so that rural residents can actually qualify for those jobs in their rural areas. And I'm wondering if you've, I know the program's been full, but one of the problems was making sure that local agencies and state agencies would give priority to hiring people that had certificates. Have you had any interaction on that, and are we able to get those local people hired to those jobs that are available in those local communities instead of bringing in people either, you know, from outside the area or outside the state?
Through the chair, Representative Seaton, I understand your comments clearly, and I will do a, I'll make a note and do a follow-up with Commissioner Schmidt, and to see if what I'd like to know myself. You know, are we as a state, are we utilizing the graduates as intended per the legislation and the education and training that was funded here 2 years ago? So I'll do a follow-up for that and get back to you on that.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative. Further questions of the commissioner? Further questions of anyone on the commissioner's staff? He still has a couple of lifelines left.
Through the chair, I have one thing that's very exciting. I've been kind of saving for last if somebody's ran out of a question. And I do apologize to the body because on several of the questions I can't answer at this time. I just can't do it. But with that being said, three years ago, when you know, our GA training plan was completed, strategy two in there, and there's four broad strategies. Is strategy two was to develop a comprehensive career and technical education plan for Alaska. And I would like to say that in the last year, less than a year, we completed the CTE plan for the state. And there again, it was not done in a vacuum. It was done in collaboration with the University of Alaska, the Departments of Labor, and the Departments of Education, because for all the obvious reasons that we talk about here as lawmakers and in the administration and just public citizens, you know, one of my main goals since I've came here is to try, all of us, but I wanted to try to see if we could make a dent in increasing our graduation rates, elimination of having to re-educate our kids when they graduate from high school, go to university, and still have to do remedial math, and that's the populist theme everybody keeps reoccurring. But it is true, because you're talking to somebody that was in the private sector, ran an apprenticeship program, saw the direct results, where there were times where I did have to back up a welding class, bring in a math tutor to get people back to square one, and these are high school graduates, back to square one to do basic mathematics so we can continue with the training. With all that being said, I'm very proud of this document and the team that's, if you've had a chance to read it, I'd like you to just take a look at the cross-section of the industry players that were at the table. I think you'll recognize some of the names. It's a great document. It has six broad strategies, and I'm hoping that you'll all embrace it and find it of value. The Board of Regents has, State Board of Education has, we certainly do. And, you know, let's move forward and try to implement this and increase and make better on our students and increase our graduation rates, right? So, I'll just give you one little snippet out of the trends, and I probably ought to shut up, but you'll find that I had a company tell me that they one of the reasons they don't hire more Alaskans is they can't find enough qualified Alaskans. And I says, okay, so I won't tell you what I said, but I said, not in this room, but we're going to have meetings, because I've finally have been afforded a chance to talk to these people, and I'm going to show them a pathway how to increase your Alaska hire, because it can be done. And when you read the non-resident hire report, you're going to read one sector in there that fully embraced the concept of what we're trying to implement, and you're going to find that it does work. You can bring business, and you can bring industry, and you can bring the university, and you can bring an educational institution to the table if everyone agrees to work towards the common goal. It works. You'll see that in the report. In a major industry in the state. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Any other questions for the Commissioner? But I think we all appreciate what you do and your department and the dedication that all your folks have to the Department of Labor. And, Tom, congratulations on your recent appointment. And you love working with Commissioner Bishop. Anyway, thank you very much for attending. Co-chair Representative Olson, thank you very much for allowing me to chair this meeting. And I guess we have one more. Is that correct?
Friday.
Okay, he gets it.
I think it was.
He gets it Friday.
What?
No, me. Okay, so we're completely done. So you don't get to chair the joint meeting on Friday. So that concludes our joint meeting, and thank you very much for attending.
Thank you.
It's adjourned at 4 o'clock on the nose.
What is this on the agenda for Friday?
No, it's on Friday.
It's not.
We're canceled.
It was just if we were.